09:05 and 20:05 UTC right after the international.
Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, June 22, 2022. The Ethiopian ambassador in South Sudan walks out of a meeting in protest.
Refugees can live peacefully wherever they need. This is their right. But my concern is that statement made by the lady from Ethiopia is politically motivated. It was unexpected.
And South Sudan government has unveiled a development plan for the country.
Our commitment to public investment program is that it provides the first step for the reconstituted transitional government of national unity back on building inclusive political and economic institutions.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government has launched a three-year national development plan aimed at strengthening transparency, accountability, inclusive governance, and economic stability. One economist applauds the $7.2 billion plan, but says without political will, peace, and proper public financial strategy, the plan will do very little to address the country's crisis. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
This is South Sudan's fourth development plan. The first was launched in 2011, just days after the country gained independence, and the next plans were issued in 2014 and 2018. Agak Achuel is South Sudan Finance and Economic Planning Minister. He says the aspirations that characterized the previous national development plans could not be achieved first because a dispute between Sudan and South Sudan in 2012 over the stoppage of oil production. He says and then outbreaks of conflicts in 2013 and 2016 also hindered the implementation of the development plans. Achuel says the new plan, the revised national development strategy, embodies the country's national aspirations to gradually transition to a development trajectory.
In implementing the revised NDS, lay the foundation to enable us slowly shift from dependency on humanitarian support to development focus. This will include a step to diversify the economy away from dependency on oil by investing in priority sectors like agriculture, mining, animal resources, and others.
The plan is budgeted at $7.2 billion. In the first year, $2.2 billion will be spent, and about $2.5 billion will be spent in each of the next 2 years. First Vice President Riek Machar launched the plan on behalf of President Salva Kiir. Reading Kiir's statement during the launch, Machar said the plan will strengthen the implementation of the 2018 revitalized peace agreement, lay a foundation for sustained peace, and stabilize the economy. He says it also focuses on bolstering health, education, and food security.
Our commitment to public investment programming is that it provides the first step for the reconstituted transitional government of national unity to embark on building inclusive political and economic institutions, which would in turn ensure sustainable peace, economic growth, and poverty reduction.
Lual Achuel Deng, Managing Director of the Ebony Center for Strategic Studies, an economic think tank based in Juba, says for the plan to achieve its objectives, the unity government should finance its implementation.
If peace does not prevail in a country, whom do you blame? You can't cannot blame peace because it's not there, it's something created. You cannot blame the ordinary citizen, you blame leadership. And the leaders here, what I mean, as all level of governance. So that's the most important thing for South Sudan.
Deng, an economist who was a petroleum minister in Sudan before South Sudan seceded in 2011, says there is a need to change the technology used to extract the country's oil. He suggests using American technology to replace the Chinese technology primarily used now in the country. This, he says, which in turn helps finance the implementation of the development plan. Sarah Besholo, the United Nations humanitarian coordinator in South Sudan, agrees with Deng. She says the launch of the plan lays a clear pathway and a framework that will guide actors on the development trajectory of the nation. She adds it also signals optimism for durable peace and development.
The prerequisite is peace. And no donor community or partner can give you peace. Peace must be the desire of the people of South Sudan. Peace must be pursued by the people of South Sudan. Otherwise, this national development strategy will mean nothing.
The funding of the plan will come from domestic taxes and oil revenues. Achuel says the government plans to improve tax collections, reduce military funding and wasteful spending, increase oil revenues, and accelerate economic and financial management reforms. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
The Ethiopian ambassador to South Sudan, Nabil Mahdi, walked out of an event to commemorate World Refugee Day after an asylum seeker from the Tigray region testified about how the war in Ethiopia affected her. Kidisa Nargay, an asylum seeker from Ethiopia, says she became a target for providing support to Tigrayan refugees. But Ambassador Mahdi says Nargay is not a refugee and her testimony was politically motivated. The UNHCR country director for South Sudan says seeking safety is a human right. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Energetic Burundian refugee dramas entertained participants at the World Refugee Day celebration in Juba on Tuesday, organized by the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. Speaking at the UNHCR compound in Juba, Kidusan Argay, an Ethiopian refugee, said she has worked in South Sudan as a businesswoman since 2011. After the war broke out in Ethiopia, she was forced to apply for asylum in the country.
I sought asylum in South Sudan 2021 when the conflict in Tigray region state of Ethiopia starting in November 2020. It left many of us from Tigray feeling unsafe and unsure about what to do. I was in South Sudan as the starting of conflict.
She says things got worse when she helped several Ethiopians from Tigray who were serving in the United Nations peacekeepers in South Sudan and didn't want to return home.
Understanding the challenge that they would face if they return home, I took it upon myself and following Tigrayans to create awareness with the governor of South Sudan and the UNHCR. I am glad that most of those unwilling to return home managed to seek asylum in the country. I later on became a target of supporting my brother and sisters. Further to that, I could not travel back home, rather processing any documentation with my governor.
Argay, who is the chairperson of the Tigrayan community in South Sudan, says she applied for asylum in South Sudan, which was granted, and she now feels safe. She says more than 4,000 Ethiopians are seeking asylum in South Sudan. Her comments didn't go well with Ethiopian Ambassador Nabil Mahdi, who was attending the event. Mahdi was visibly uncomfortable as Argay testified and tried to register his concern to the head of UNHCR and South Sudanese refugee officials. Finally, he walked out. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus today, Mahdi said Argay's speech was politically motivated and accused her of being a member of Tigray People's Liberation Front.
This lady, we know that she is a member, organizer of TPLF. TPLF is recognized by our parliament as terrorist party. Even though our government is trying its best to settle the conflict of Tigray peacefully. She is the chairman of TPLF committee here, organizing committee. They are engaged in a lot of illegal activities. If we are serious on her, she might be deported automatically.
The ambassador says asylum seekers and refugees from Ethiopia have the right to stay in South Sudan only if they live peacefully, respect the laws of South Sudan, and avoid engaging in illegal activities against the government and people of Ethiopia. Mahdi says Hargeisa's speech falls short of this standard.
Refugees can live peacefully wherever they need. This is their right. But my concern is that statement made by the lady from Ethiopia is politically motivated. It was unexpected by UNHCR forum to given to challenge the Ethiopian government initiative, as if Ethiopian government is harassing its people.
The Ethiopian ambassador says the government of Ethiopia is committed to bringing lasting peace to the Tigray region. He says recently the government allowed more than 300 trucks to provide humanitarian supplies to the people of Tigray. Ethiopian national troops launched an attack in the Tigray region in late 2020, saying the Tigray People's Liberation Front had attacked federal military bases. The conflict has grown on since then, with tens of thousands of people killed and hundreds of thousands displaced. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
Still on UN, the UN Refugee Agency projects more than 2 million refugees will need to be resettled in third countries of asylum in 2023, a 36% increase over the year's 1.47 million. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, authorities in Lake State detain more teachers at a military facility. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there something about yourself that you would like to change?
Definitely not. No, because at least I know my life has been good. I've not been entertaining bad company. So to change my life, I need to start making at least new friends again.
Life is all about learning. We learn every day. So in as much as we are still breathing, there are things we need to shed off.
Currently, I would like to change my tummy. I'm growing a pot belly. So I'm exercising. I've bought an abdomen machine that's helping me to deal with it. And I want to lose weight, probably 5-8 kilos.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The 300 South Sudanese students of a Juba-based branch of Kampala University who have been blocked from graduating have dragged the institution to court. The lawsuit was filed at the High Court of Uganda in Kampala against the administration of Kampala University. Stephen Nelson, a lawyer representing the students, says, among other issues, the complainants want the court to issue an injunction stopping the graduation schedule for tomorrow until the dispute is settled. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
Officials at Kampala University's main campus say they are unaware of the Juba-based students. The students' names did not appear on the graduation booklets prepared for Thursday's graduation ceremony. Many of the Juba students have set up camp at the university's campus in Kampala, demanding answers. The students have sued the university in the High Court in Kampala. Sarah Akwot, the spokesperson of the affected students, says her group wants the court to postpone the graduation until the final verdict is reached.
The Vice Chancellor, Mr. Kateraga, is still standing on his ground that he is not going to graduate any of us, the students from the Juba branch, which he said that he has closed it long time ago. And therefore, we have taken a legal action. And we have opened two cases in Uganda High Court. And the first case is about us being denied the graduation. And the other case is to stop the graduation without us.
A court says the students took the decision to go to court not only to ensure they are allowed to graduate, but also for the sake of all South Sudanese students who, in her words, have been dumped by Kampala University. South Sudan Ambassador to Uganda, Duku Michael, and other embassy staff addressed the students at the embassy in Kampala after they had lodged their case. The ambassador praised the students for being orderly and law-abiding and wished them success at the court hearing scheduled for today. But this afternoon, the case was delayed when the presiding judge did not turn up in court.
Today, we went to court and we're expecting to meet the judge and they listen to us. But unfortunately, the judge who has been allocated our case has an emergency. He wasn't around. And so we had a meeting with the deputy judge. And this is what he told us. He said, I've received your case and your case is a case of emergency. And he had the opportunity and he had the chance to cancel the graduation from happening without us. But then there was one problem that he faced. He faced a challenge that in our papers that we submitted all through the help of our lawyers, he did not find a testimonial of each of us, the students. A testimonial that shows that we have completed everything and we are ready for graduation. That is a challenge. Although we tried to explain to him that all the students who came from Juba, they were all granted provisional results that show that they have completed all the course units that they were supposed to do before they graduate and get either a certificate, a diploma, or a degree in any field that they're doing.
The Kampala University branch in Juba was founded in 2015 and has been graduating students since then. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi in Juba.
Some former fellows of the Young African Leaders Initiative, or YALI, say their experience in the 2021 Mandela Washington Fellowship improved their technical skills, while others complain about poor internet connection in South Sudan. The fellowship for 2021 was held virtually due to COVID-19. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Washington.
The Mandela Washington Fellowship was put on hold in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It resumed last year, but fellows could only attend online instead of traveling to the U.S. in person. This frustrated some fellows who withdrew altogether from the fellowship. Others, like Alexander Ramadan, accepted the virtual fellowship. Ramadan, who works as an information communications technology officer at Samaritan Pass, an international Christian organization providing humanitarian aid to needy South Sudanese, says his position allowed him to access reliable internet connection.
I was lucky too because of my profession. Being in ICT profession, I was often in the location where there were officers. At times, I had to limit number of users on the internet so I could have a better internet for my virtual session. The fellowship went successful.
Ramadan thanks the University of Nebraska-Lincoln staff, who he says made it easy for him to navigate the Canvas app where all resources are shared. Upon finishing his fellowship, Ramadan founded the Innovative Organization for Emerging Information and Technology, which provides affordable internet access to South Sudanese rural communities. Ramadan says he would have preferred to attend the fellowship in person, but made the best of it.
There were some physical interaction we were not able to meet. And it would have been perfect for fellowship to achieve much more. But because of COVID-19, which hide the world heart, it didn't. However, I can say I'm still grateful. Thank God we now have Alumni Enrichment Institute or Alumni Enrichment Initiative to achieve what I and my colleague were not able to achieve during my fellowship. This is an opportunity to physically meet and interact with my fellows, interact with U.S. Institute staffs, learn about U.S. culture, and continue building a new network.
But not everyone was happy about taking an online program instead of coming to the U.S. for the fellowship. Pony Victoria, Communications Officer for the ICAP Global Institute South Sudan program, is a finalist who turned down the virtual fellowship. She says learning virtually didn't meet the Mandela Washington Fellowship goal to bring together young people from Africa to foster cultural exchange and learn from one another.
I believe that fostering cultural exchange and working together and learning from one another is extremely difficult online or virtual. It's almost impossible that Mandela Washington would be able to achieve this goal virtually, because cultural exchange and building synergies and learning from one another is something that it's almost difficult to be done online. This needed a physical presence.
Victoria says she also dropped out of the fellowship because of South Sudan's poor internet connectivity.
Generally, Africa has a lot of issues when it comes to internet connectivity, and particularly South Sudan. We have very poor internet connection. Most of us come from remote places, and even accessing internet is difficult. Our network, phone network itself, is a challenge, leave alone internet. And perhaps the finances. Internet is very costly. It's very expensive here. I believe so many of us have issues when it comes to accessing internet. You either have the money and the connection is poor, or you actually have no money and you don't even have a good internet connection.
Victoria says it will also be difficult for her organization to persuade her employer to give her leave to attend without a travel invitation letter from the fellowship. And the pressure to balance work, her family, and the fellowship will have been a lot for her to manage. Victoria says she will consider reapplying for the Mandela Washington Fellowship when it resumes full in-person activities in the U.S. Minangano Kape is a Yale alumni who is a poet and author and co-founded Heroines Unspoken Tales, a digital platform that seeks to amplify, document, and share the journeys and stories of women through art. Kape says although there were things she wanted to experience in person, the online discussions and conversations were educational.
The virtual experience also, in a good way, introduced us to the new world order, the new normal, getting to embrace the use of technology, getting to embrace the fact that now people have to work and engage remotely, which was like really, really a very good experience, especially in today's world.
Kape says doing the yearly fellowship marks her first time working completely online. She says being able to connect and learn virtually from other young African leaders across Africa was inspiring.
It kind of refreshed and injected a new level of energy in me to be able to continue with the work that I am doing and to also stop procrastinating and put myself out there to implement or put to action some of the ideas and visions that I had.
Rombek Isaiah Colorinda, Executive Director of the humanitarian nonprofit Global Aim South Sudan, says the fellowship expanded his knowledge of virtual programming.
I am actually not well conversant with technology, but I was able to grasp and learn quickly because it was the only option.
Colorinda, who served as Deputy Speaker of Central Equatorial State's Ganji County Legislative Council before it was dissolved when South Sudan returned to 10 states, says South Sudan's weak internet would hinder his access to online sessions.
The poor connectivity that we have has always been a challenge. Network sometimes is not stable and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, but all in all, there was no absolute difference between the virtual program that we did.
5 out of the 10 fellows who attended the fellowship online last year were chosen to travel to the U.S. in July to attend the Alumni Regimen Institute. Every year, the fellowship takes 10 fellows from South Sudan for the fellowship. This year, the fellowship resumed its in-person program and the fellows are already at the host institutions across the U.S. David Monadanga, VOA News, Washington.
From Washington, we move to Rumbek, where authorities in Lake State have arrested 21 more teachers and school headmasters. The teachers had gone to the state legislative assembly to follow up on a petition asking the state government to pay them according to the new national salary structure announced last year. This brings to 39 number of teachers detained at a military facility in Rumbek. For VOA News, William Sande Mabor reports from Rumbek.
Security operatives in the South Sudan's Lagos state capital, Rumbek, arrested 21 more teachers on Wednesday. On Monday, Lagos state officials had arrested 12 teachers, then detained 6 more teachers on the orders of the Education Minister, Nelson Makoy. The teachers allegedly mobilized a sit-down strike to demand their unpaid salary, which had been set out in the national salary structure announced last year. A teacher who escaped arrest, Abijah Majuk Majud, says teachers had gone to the state legislative assembly to follow up on an earlier petition to lawmakers to address their complaints. Majud says while the teachers were inside the assembly, security personnel locked the fence and arrested them.
On the way going to the parliament, when we reached at the gate, the army came, they locked the gate of the parliament, then they detained 21 of us, and I was the only survivor of the detained. I was at the other side of the road, including the representative of the teachers, Makurnyot, the one who represents the teachers in this problem, is also detained, and he is put in different car, and the others are taken to the other car. They are now taken to a new barrack called Rock City in Rumbek, and Makurnyot is taking nowhere. I don't know where they have taken him.
Majot calls on the state and national government to release his colleagues and call for the governor, General Rinpeng Mabor, to intervene in the case.
Why the minister is arresting the teachers, the staff of the ministry? Without teachers, the ministry would have not been there. This is my message to the governor. And the parliament is keeping quiet. I don't know what is the problem. We have brought our petition to the parliament, telling our right, we are claiming our right in a peaceful way. We are not protesting. We are not opposing the government. We are just claiming our right. It is a result to the detention of the teachers.
South Sudan in Focus contacted the education minister, Nelson Makoy, who denied that there were no teachers arrested today. Some lawmakers have condemned the detention of the teachers. Earlier this morning, the Speaker of Legislative Assembly, Agum Jacob Chagai, said she should meet with the governor to iron out issues between the teachers and the State Ministry of General Education. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabor in Rumbek, Lagos State.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. When I leave you with the song Mama Ama by Colonel Mido. Listening to Colonel Mido with the song Mama Ama. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking your time to be with us this evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.